Welcome back to the pod. Different kind of episode this week. No Brandon at all. It's because I was traveling, and we wanted to record last week, but I got violently ill on a cruise with the Property Brothers. That sounds weird, but it's true. So I was bedridden for a few days, and Brandon and I were unable to record. So I'm coming at you from Exeter, New Hampshire. I'm walking around the mean streets of Exeter. Just wanted to give you guys a little feel for this town. So I'm walking out in public. People are looking at me, wondering what I'm doing, as if they've never seen a grown man with no pants on before. I don't know what's going on here. I'm approaching Spring Street Bridge. It is beautiful, but, you know, a little cold. It's 17 degrees out right now. I have no gloves on. I am in pain. But, hey, do it for the pod. Whew, fuck, it's cold. Quick little story. My first night here in Exeter, I went to a local brewery called Sea Dog Brewery. And just got some chili and a beer. And then the bartender asked me what I did. I couldn't come up with something boring. Sometimes I say I'm a consultant if I don't really want to talk about comedy. But I was like, I'm a comedian. And she was like, really? And then other staff was like, you're a comedian? Let's talk about it. Then they found my videos online. They're like, holy shit, you have followers. Which, it's flattering. But then everyone started talking to me about comedy, which is cool. And then I ended up getting some free beers. The bar closed, but they kept it open for me because I'm a huge celebrity. Midnight came around, and it was time to go. I walked back to my mom's place, took out my phone, which was on 9%, and I was about to look at the PIN number for my mom's building. My phone shut off, in large part due to the cold and low battery. Then all of a sudden, I was locked out in 10-degree weather in the dead town of Exeter. This town shuts down at like 9 p.m. Then I was like, uh-oh, I might die. So I sprinted back to Sea Dog Brewery, knocked on their door, pounded on their door. Thankfully, my new best friend Paul, the floor manager there, opened the door. He's like, Rye, what do you need? And I was like, my phone died. I'm locked out of my mom's place. And then they let me charge my phone in order to get the PIN. So long story short is the Sea Dog Brewery potentially saved my life. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I was thinking I'll flag down some cars, but there was no cars driving. I didn't know where the police station was. I had no phone. Man, it was a moment where I was like, wow, I am nothing without my phone. And just goes to show, the East Coast here, it's wicked harsh, dude. Like, if your car shuts down on the highway in the midwinter, you might die. Joe Rogan talks about that a lot. And he thinks that's what makes people from Boston funny. It's because, like, we're in survival mode a lot. And that's why we're so intense. We just wake up like, fuck. Fuck, it's cold. Dude, let's go get some fucking chili and some beers. And make fun of our friends. Because we bust balls here on the East Coast. Yeah, that's my Exeter story. Can you guys hear the water, the river here? I hope you can. So yeah, thank you to the Sea Dog Brewery. This episode is brought to you by Sea Dog Brewery. As for bartender Jill, I think her name is, and floor manager Paul, tell them Rydune sent you. Oh, my hands are going to fall off. Holy shitballs, it's freezing. Anyways, on this episode, we have my mom as a guest. I've talked a lot about my own depression, and that was passed down to me from my mom. My mom is bipolar 1. There's two types, bipolar 1 and 2. Bipolar 1 is the more intense one where your manic states last days on end. So, like, you're up for days thinking you have superpowers and shit like that. And then the depression is you're brutally depressed for days on end. So the ups and downs of life are just way more intense for people with bipolar disorder. So far, we don't think I have it. I've talked to talked to doctors about it. Doesn't seem like I have it, so that's good. But I'm sure some of you listening do, or you know somebody with it. And, yeah, I just talked to my mom all about her life when she started getting depressed, what went wrong. She was wrongly medicated, saw some bad therapists and stuff. Yeah, it should be interesting. We keep it pretty light. It gets dark, but I didn't want to make my mom, like, feel bad or anything. So it's a good episode, very interesting, and I think you'll enjoy it. Before we start this episode, I want to play a quick clip of a heckler that I dealt with last night in Manchester, New Hampshire. I had a gig at the Shaskeen Pub. Nick LaValle hooked it up for me. My buddy Nick, who's a comedian, runs a weekly show at the Shaskeen Pub in Manchester, New Hampshire. And we had a heckler last night. A drunk, shit-faced, plastered girl. Pretty much just like moaning to herself. She was talking all throughout the night. No one could get her to stop. I did my best to shut her up. You'll hear my tactic. My tactic, which was just trying to make her feel bad. But it didn't work out because she's self-loving. You'll hear her say that. So here's that clip.
What makes her not attractive is a symmetrical face, strong jaw, broad dick. Shoulders, sorry.
Body
is weird. I hate you. We all hate you. She hates herself. We're not going to win, folks.
Yeah,
self-loathing. Let's move on.
And that's a heckler. She was soon kicked out because she was just ruining everyone's night. And yeah, I am so cold. People are looking at me. It's like, why is he talking into a mic by himself? Must be crazy. Nope, I'm not crazy. My mom is. Just kidding. She's not crazy anymore. I would like to say my mom has made a brilliant recovery from her days in mental hospitals and stuff. You'll hear all about it. She did want me to say that she left out something, which was that when you're mentally ill, people assume that you can just heal yourself. They'll be like, just be better. Come on, you're not trying. Just come on. And I guess that's very frustrating. It's like me when I'm depressed. Some of my friends are like, come on, just get out of bed. And I had asthma as a kid. When I was wheezing, my friends would be like, just breathe out your nose. So it's similar to that, in that people assume you can just heal yourself when you can't. You got to get the right medication if you need it. See doctors and stuff. Just learn about what's going on in your brain. So yeah, that's it. Hope you guys enjoy this episode with my mom. I don't give away her name for privacy reasons. Whew, it's so cold. I have a gig December 18th at the Irvine Improv with Elton Castay and Vinny Fastline. I'll put a link in the bio for that. Might be sold out already, but it's a big show for us. It's coming out to Irvine Improv December 18th. And that's it. Whew. Support our sponsors. You'll hear in the middle of this, it's brought to you by Legacy Box. Promo code DAD. That's helping the pod stay afloat. Holy shit, my hand is going to fall off. All right, guys. Let me know if you like this episode. Sorry, Brandon's not on it. But we just couldn't get it together because I was on my deathbed. You hear that water? It's nice. Although I'm in severe pain right now. No, I'm all right, but my hand is going to fall off. All right, without further ado, very special episode with my mom. Enjoy.
Back on one. Make sure you're funny.
Okay.
And allow me a chance to be funny.
Okay. Today on the pod is my mom. No Brandon, thank God. Do you know Brandon, Mom?
Brandon? No.
Brandon Calvillo.
What is he? Like a movie star? Comedian? I don't know any Brandon.
Far from it. I'm making fun of him, not you.
Oh, okay.
Brandon is my podcast co-host.
Oh, hi, Brandon.
Brandon.
Brandon, sorry. Like on 90210.
Yeah, exactly. He looks just like Jason Priestley.
Oh.
Just kidding. He looks like a better looking version of me.
No, he's not better looking than you.
Well, thank you. Put that mic closer to your mouth.
All righty.
I'm unable to adjust your levels. I'm recording on a little tiny Zoom podcast thingy. I'm talking to my audience right now. So I hope this records, and I hope this is going to upload. I am on the road visiting family. I consider visiting family to be on the road. It's work. JK. But yeah, I'm in New Hampshire. Exeter, New Hampshire. Ooh. Should I not say that? It's a small town.
Yeah.
People can find you and be like, oh my God, you're Rodney's mom. Yeah,
I'll
I'm
give
in,
autographs.
I'm in Exeter, New Hampshire, staying at my mom's. I'm looking at my mom's cat, who is my cat's daughter.
Debbie.
Debbie, yep. Debbie is very comfortable, purring.
that was me, purring.
I wish Ralph would lie with me. Ralph's not very, Ralph's very kind, but she doesn't get snuggly.
Fear of intimacy.
Yeah. But anyways, Mom, I think my audience knows. Brandon's audience is already tuned out, but what was I like as a kid?
Well, you're asking the right person because I think you were perfect as a kid.
Correct.
Do you remember what I used to call you? Or refer to you as?
Yeah, it's kind of cringy. Like, my pride and joy, my perfect boy.
Exactly.
Aim the mic like this.
Okay.
Yeah. I know I was a very nice young man.
You certainly were. You were very kind and very, what's the word? Charming.
Charming, yes.
What did you want me to say? Compassionate?
I thought you were going to.
Okay. I'll throw that in, too. Compassionate.
Yeah, thanks. You told me once in high school that I was... You weren't saying it as a bad thing. You were like, you're over-compassionate.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you were over-compassionate.
I think you were... I think I'm just, like, a little more sensitive than most people.
Yes, you are. Than most boys.
Than most men.
Yeah,
I remember I cried easily as a kid.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, if I ever got in trouble at school, I'd be, like, holding back tears immediately.
When did you get in trouble?
Almost never.
Oh, okay. So you didn't really cry in school then.
One time I tripped James Fotella in flag football.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mrs. Govan said, go to the office.
Whoa.
And then I was like, what did I do? And then I proceeded to just cry hysterically in the office because I couldn't believe I got in trouble.
Oh, I would have gone right down there had I known about this.
Yeah. You're part of the generation of parents who told us kids that we could do anything we wanted.
I never said that. That's a joke.
Our teachers did, for sure.
Right. Do you want to be an astronaut, Rye? You can do it.
Yeah. I remember writing a little essay on like what I wanted to do in life.
Mm-hmm.
In fourth grade, and I wrote, like, if I become a professional baseball player, then Mrs. Smith crossed out if and put when.
Oh, boy. Oh, geez.
So I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to be a pro baseball player.
Yeah, I wish you were. Take care of me in my old age.
But then, thankfully, freshman year of high school, I realized I wasn't special.
Oh.
I thought I was. And then adults didn't treat me like, hey, Rye. They were just like, hey, Rye. And I was like, what? How come no one's treating me like I'm amazing?
I did.
Yeah, I know.
I spoiled you rotten.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. And then I have three older sisters, so that's why I'm so gay. it's nurture over nature, ladies and gentlemen.
I would accept you anyway.
Yes, I know. You know, I thought I was gay for like 3 hours once.
You really?
I mean, I just considered it.
For what time of day was it?
Afternoon.
Oh. Okay.
I was in college, and I was observing the type of guys that girls liked.
Yeah.
So I was trying to identify what made men attractive. So then I was like looking around college campus, like, all right, he's got great shoulders. He has nice eyes. He's a strong chin. I was like, oh, no. It wouldn't be a bad thing, but I was like, man, I got a lot of phone calls to make tonight.
To boys?
No, like, I mean, that's a joke, phone calls, but, like, I'd have to, like, tell my family. I didn't want to go through that.
No.
But then
you could have told me.
But then I stopped analyzing what made men attractive, and I was like, all right, I like women.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, talking about sexuality with my mom, awkward.
Yeah, please don't. What? You can. Go ahead.
Sexuality?
Yeah.
Let's see. I have gay friends.
Me too.
Hashtag me too. Let's not go there, Mom.
Fine.
Just kidding. Is it recording? All right, it's recording. Yeah, so me as a kid, I remember... Yeah, my childhood was amazing. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
My mom had ran a preschool in our house.
Yeah. I did for a long time. Yep. I also did bed and breakfast in our house.
That's right. Our third floor of the house was bed and breakfast. And
there was another suite, too. There were two suites.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Where was the other suite?
Where you ended up.
Oh, the maid's quarters?
Yeah.
I grew up in a very big, very old house. I didn't know that the maid's quarters was B&B.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I was a little boy, and I'd walk up to the bed and breakfast area with a basket of muffins, and my job was to just be cute and charming, be like, your muffins are ready.
No, you were a baby. The girls brought up.
I brought up muffins sometimes.
All right.
Towards the end.
Yeah.
How was that, running a bed and breakfast? Awful?
Physically exhausting. And I had to be nice to them all the time.
Yeah, and you are not nice.
No. As a rule, no.
But yeah, talk more about me as a kid.
Oh.
There's not much to say. It was
you
just
know,
I
there
was
really
a boring
isn't.
It was a boring, nice kid.
No, you did a lot of
drugs.
Funny things. I did the drugs. Funny things around the house.
Like
you
what?
Know, you'd imitate people and mm-hmm. their voices and whatnot. You were always funny.
And I remember, whenever I was in character, in quotes, mm-hmm. I would lift my elbow up?
Yes. That was very odd. When you were in trouble, you'd come in the room with your elbow out. Don't ask me why. Meg used to limp.
But this is when I was trying to be funny, though. That's what I thought. When I was in trouble, I'd lift my elbow up?
I thought it was funny, but I don't know.
And Meg would limp?
When Meg was upset or whatever, or did something naughty, she had a pronounced limp.
Kind of like playing a victim.
Perhaps.
I'm not in trouble. Look, right. My leg hurts. But yeah, childhood was great. Three older sisters that were... usually very nice to me, and therefore I went over my friends' houses with older brothers, and they weren't as kind, and I was like, what's happening? But cool. Here, you can talk more. Like, help me out here.
Oh, okay.
I have no co-host today.
Okay. I'm like Ed McMahon used to be. Your fans won't remember him.
Ed McMahon, I know him.
Do you?
Personally.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know the Property Brothers personally. That impresses me.
Yep. I was just on a cruise with the Property Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, they do drugs.
Stop right now. What kind of drugs?
Heroin.
My Drew and Jonathan? I doubt it very much.
Yeah, just kidding. They don't do drugs.
No.
Drew doesn't drink. Jonathan will have like one drink.
What's wrong with them?
I talked to Drew Scott of the Property Brothers and said, I want to see you in a vulnerable state this week. And he was like, I am in one right now because I don't have anything to do.
Oh. He likes to keep busy. Like me.
Yeah. Yeah.
High energy.
He likes to keep busy by watching MSNBC all day.
No, I don't watch it all day.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about you.
Okay.
What were you like as a kid?
I was very obedient.
I thought you were going to say obese.
Yeah. That was later. No, I'm not obese. Yeah, I was obedient, and I obeyed the nuns, and my first grade nun told us we had to go to bed at 7 o'clock, so I would panic at 7 o'clock, and I didn't know how to tell time.
Yeah.
So my older brothers would say, like at 5:30, they'd say, it's 7 o'clock, you better go to bed.
You're like, ah!
Yeah, help me. And I always had a lot of friends, always had a lot of fun. Jump roping. There's a memory for me. Oh, and going to Maine all summer.
Mm-hmm.
Those were my happiest days.
And you grew up in Dorchester, Massachusetts.
Dorchester.
The Dosh.
Yeah.
For people not in the Boston area, it is the most Boston you could possibly be in Dorchester.
Yeah. I'm a dot broad.
Oh, don't say broad. That's demeaning.
Oh, geez.
My therapist told me not to say that.
Okay. You tell her you can say anything you want.
You know my therapist called me a misogynist?
But did you slap her or something? Because you're not.
Well, I bitch slapped her because she's a bitch. Yeah, right? I was offended by that.
I don't blame you.
I've talked about it a lot on the podcast already.
Did she really say you're a misogynist?
Yeah. I've talked about it too much. The whole last episode was surrounded by me.
Jeez.
Bitch slapping whores.
Yeah, well, you reach a certain point where you can't take anymore.
And she also told me, like, you have too much Boston on you. It's like people out here take care of themselves.
Meaning?
You need to chill out. Because I told...
Did you pay money to this therapist?
Yeah. This is the first time that I have disagreed with her and taken offense.
You have too much Boston in you?
Yeah, I think it's because I'm, like, a little intense. And, I'm not ready to physically fight, but I'm aggressive.
You better not physically fight.
I don't.
You did once, remember?
When?
I was living in Brookline.
Yeah, I got involved in a good old-fashioned Boston street brawl.
Yeah.
Got punched in the face. That one sucked, because I got stitches in my mouth, and that required me to go to the hospital. But out of all my friends, I got beat up the least, I think. But they didn't need to get hospitalized. So all my friends that were girls were like, oh my God, poor Rye. He got beat up.
Yeah. I went to the hospital, in fact.
Yep.
To see your bloody lip.
Mm-hmm. Still have a scar.
No, you don't.
I do a little bit.
Well, you can't see it.
Anyway, so you're a kid in Dorchester.
Yeah.
You have 30 older brothers.
Yeah.
How many siblings do you have?
I'm one of six.
Okay. And you are second oldest?
Third.
Third oldest.
And I was the only girl for 10 years.
Sheesh. So that's why you're so gay?
Perhaps. I don't know. And then my sister was born when I was 10. And my youngest brother was born when I was 12. So...
Billy.
Yes.
He's the best.
Isn't he?
He is. Well, I'm best as in wealthiest. So I'm going to be... I consider his house in the Berkshires to be mine.
Yes. Well, I'm sure you'll be considered in his will.
Really?
I want to be in it more. I should be in it over you.
All right. Well, then I'll kill... Am I going to be in your will?
I won't have anything to leave you, but you want Debbie?
Sure, I'll take your cat.
Okay.
All right, deal.
Yep.
Yeah, so you're a kid in Dorchester.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like? It's going to be hard to explain. It was normal to you. But you grew up going to school with nuns and stuff.
Yeah.
Parishes.
Yep, St. Max.
St. Max Parish?
Mm-hmm.
Nice, dude. So when did you start crushing beers? Like 12?
Yeah, we had a couple of beers every night at dinner.
Nice. We're 15 minutes in already. Wow, damn. Let's get into the nitty gritty.
All right.
You're on the podcast because you're my mom and you're funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a comedy podcast. I think you need to step up the comedy a little bit.
Okay.
All right.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange, you.
Orange, glad I do. Stop right now.
Hey, you made it funny.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad I... Stop. So, I have talked a lot about my depression on this podcast.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, you can respond. Okay. You can, like... Ooh. You can react to... You can make eye contact with me and, like, react to things.
Oh.
Jesus.
My God.
We're Irish.
You were seven?
Huh?
What did you just say?
I have talked a lot about my depression on this podcast.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I get annually depressed. I haven't been for over a year, which is rare. And I started getting depressed in, I think, seventh grade. I started going through puberty a little bit. Stopped for the next 5 years,
yeah,
it seems.
That was tough. You used to answer the phone in a deep voice, like,
yeah,
hello?
Yeah.
And then you'd call to me and say, Mom, Nancy's on the phone.
Hello?
Yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, I hated not growing.
Well, you did.
I finally ended up growing.
Yes.
Now I'm 5'3". but yeah, I remember, yeah, I started getting depressed. Mostly, I think it was about sports. I got massive sports anxiety to the point where I would dread every practice, every baseball practice, every baseball game, and it would just sink.
Oh.
It would just sink me down into a depression.
Oh.
And also school. I hated school. It was a struggle.
Oh, God.
I just wasn't good at the school system. It wasn't a good fit for me.
No, it wasn't.
So I had to study three times as hard as anyone else. I still did well. I got good grades.
You did.
And I was a good student.
You were.
But I hated it.
Well, it's behind you.
Yeah. And then just this past year, I've started to really try to not be sad.
Jeez.
And that's why I've been starting to see my bitch of a therapist.
Yeah, she is. I don't like her.
No, I like her a lot. She's actually from Marblehead.
Oh, rich
yep.
town.
Yep. Pardon the interruption, but I'm happy to announce that this episode is brought to you by Legacy Box. Thank you, Legacy Box. You know Legacy Box. We've talked about it before. We love them. I was sent a box from Legacy Box, and I filled it with old photos of my family, my sisters, my mom, who you'll hear on this, who you've heard on this episode so far. Well, guess what? She's not in the room right now, or else this would be giving away my Christmas present, but I have digitized a bunch of old family photos, and my sisters are going to present them to her on Christmas. We're going to FaceTime with me in LA, and we're all going to watch a DVD that I have compiled of old family photos. I wanted to save these photos in a digital form before they got destroyed by time. So I know a lot of you guys are young, so a great Christmas present, anniversary, birthday, whatever. Find your parents' old photos, their wedding photos and stuff, maybe photos from high school when they first started dating, if they're high school sweethearts, whatever. Find their old photos, digitize them with Legacy Box, and you will be a family hero. I am. So you do it too. Why would you want to do it? Because your old family photos are going to wither away with time. So Legacy Box helps you digitize them on a thumb drive, DVD, or digital download so you can preserve these memories forever. You just send in your Legacy Box filled with old home movies and pictures, so movies as well, and they'll do the rest. Professionally digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, digital download, or DVD. Legacy Box is the world's largest, most trusted digitizer of home movies and photos with over 450,000 families trusting them. They have over a decade of experience, and all their work is done by hand right here in the US of A. So, there's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit legacybox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time, they're offering our listeners an exclusive discount. Go to legacybox.com/dad to get 40% off your first order. Legacybox.com/dad, D-A-D, and save 40% today. Get started preserving your past, people. Legacy Box. So you just told me before we started recording that you started getting depressed in sixth grade.
I did.
So what was that? It's so weird to picture a little kid being depressed.
I was a little chubby, so I wasn't that little.
So you deserved it.
Yes, I did. Public shaming.
I'm going to take my shirt off. Not my coat off. Not my shirt.
Yeah, it was just horrible. I didn't know what it was. My parents didn't know anything. No parents knew anything.
Yeah. What year was this?
Sixth grade.
Yeah, but like what year?
Oh, jeez. You know I can't do mental math.
What year were you born?
1950.
Okay, so it was like 1962.
How old are you in the sixth grade?
I don't know. How old? I have no idea.
No, right. I guess we didn't pay much attention. Yeah, no, I was older than that.
Okay, so you were...
Say I was 12.
12,
just,
okay.
We'll say that.
Do you think that aligned with puberty?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, me too. Same with me.
Okay. Sorry.
And so what were your depressions like as a kid?
Just very, very black. Yeah. Like I didn't want to get out of bed for school. I just would look at other kids and think, why are they so happy? In the eighth grade, I started not wanting to. I'd wake up and think, oh, no, I don't want to face another day. So it's pretty black.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was still a good time. I was still fun. You hide it. You hide when you're little.
Yeah.
In those days, you had to hide it.
People still feel like they have to. And you should if you want to be a functional like person out there.
True.
You don't want to be like, hey, Janet, how are you? Terrible.
Yeah. A Debbie Downer.
I had similar thoughts in junior high. Just wake up and be like, fuck.
Oh, I didn't say that.
Neither did I. I was like, heck. So when did your depression, when did you first, so you're bipolar one?
Yes, I am, and proud of it.
Which is the scary kind, as they say.
I don't know.
Well, bipolar 2 is like you can really use it to your advantage. Like my friend Jason Nash is bipolar 2.
Mm-hmm.
He's talked about it publicly on this podcast. So it's okay to talk about.
Sorry, Jason.
But he's the type that like it helps him be creative and it won't keep him up for days at a time.
Okay. He's lucky.
Yeah. So you're bipolar 1 and you have had manic periods where you're up for days.
I was mismedicated,
mm-hmm.
and it caused insomnia, and yes, I would be awake for days, and just one night I took 4 Valium, and I still couldn't fall asleep, and my doctor had a very hard time with my insomnia, and I would just get physically weak where I'd have to sit down.
Mm-hmm.
And then he diagnosed me. He said, maybe you have ADD. So he put me on Adderall, and that's wonderful. It makes you it makes you euphoric and energized and just a very pleasant way.
I was recently put on Adderall by my psychiatrist.
You tell me.
We both decided to try it out, but then I called you, and I was like, I'm on Adderall. Is that good? You're like, oh, that's what sent me into mental hospitals.
Oh, true. That's right.
So Adderall is one of the worst things for someone who is prone, not even has bipolar, but anyone prone to bipolar. Do not take Adderall.
Do not.
Mostly because, according to my psychiatrist, it can affect your sleep, and sleep is the most important part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have bipolar, sleep is more crucial than most people.
Yes. Insomnia causes mania and depression. I don't know.
Yeah, I would say so.
Mm-hmm.
I have tons of trouble sleeping.
You do?
Yeah.
I guess I knew that.
Yeah. Even as a kid. It started in seventh grade, actually.
That you had trouble sleeping?
Couldn't sleep.
Well, why didn't you tell me?
I did.
Oh.
I wasn't up for date. It wasn't, I think it was because I was on ADD pills.
Yeah, probably.
I couldn't sleep at night. and it wasn't mania. I was just like, because I was wired on pills.
Yeah.
Then the next day would be awful. Just super tired. Not your fault.
No. Nothing was my fault.
So then, all right. So you go on Adderall. When was this? 87, you said before?
I was diagnosed in 87.
With bipolar.
With bipolar. And then I was on lithium, an old-time go-to drug for bipolar. I was on that for 10 years, and then I started to lose my memory, like chunks of time. So I was taken off of it, and then, I don't know, I just started getting manic, I guess.
Yeah.
And it led to a complete psychotic break, as the doctors would say.
They say the word nervous is complete?
I had complete ones. Yeah. I was taken out of an emergency room because the bomb was coming. And I just completely, it's a very apt label when you say she lost her mind. I did lose my mind. And they put me in an ambulance and injected me with something.
Wait, hold on. Back up. You were taken out of an emergency room because the bomb was coming?
Yeah, I thought.
Or you were put in an emergency room?
No, I was taken to the emergency room. And, excuse me, it took quite a while for me to get a bed. I ended up not getting a bed in that particular hospital. But while I was waiting in the waiting room, I started having a really crazy time. And to the point
a wild and crazy time.
Yeah. And so they knew the bomb wasn't coming, so they
the bomb, you were just someone in the hospital saying, the bomb's coming. Is that
no,
what you're saying?
No, I curled up in a ball. Excuse me. And then I also thought I had healing powers. And this poor teenager was limping through on crutches, and she had a cast on her foot. And I remember going up to her and putting my my hands over her foot to heal her. I mean, I was just pretty out of it.
Bonkers.
And in the intake room in the office, they asked me, you know, sign your name here, and I put an X. But that was kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Because I knew I wasn't illiterate. But I put it down anyway.
Just to, like, mess with them?
Yeah, kind of. And
or because you consider yourself, like, a figure like Malcolm X?
Could be.
All right, sorry. Threw it in a joke there.
Yeah. Oh, what was... Oh, I get it. The X. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And let's... Oh, I was still a healer, and the woman doing the intake was wearing glasses. And I said to her, you don't need those glasses. And she was just staring at me. I said, take them off. And she took them off. I guess she was afraid. And I just said, see? And she put them, she put them back on. So then I was, oh, God. So I was taken to one hospital where I stayed for a week, and then I was taken to another hospital where I stayed for 7 weeks.
And this was when I was in high school?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I got so that I didn't want to leave that hospital because the nurses were great and it was very secure. It made me comfortable, too comfortable. So I left there, and I had to go to this group therapy home in Brookline. It was called Wild Acres, which is pretty unfortunate that you would...
Wild?
Yeah, you know, crazy acres. So.
But let's back up. The first hospital, that was McLean's, right?
No.
No?
I was in 1-2. McLean didn't happen. I had another nervous breakdown, psychotic break.
After you came home?
At the group therapy home.
Okay. All right. Sorry. All right. Back to Crazy Acres.
Yeah.
You went to this home.
group therapy. A big, beautiful house in Brookline, but I didn't necessarily appreciate it. And I don't know. And I was very frightened there because I didn't know where I was going. I didn't have a home to go to. Mm-hmm. And that was the part that was the scariest. Like, where am I going to go?
Right.
And so guess where I went?
Where?
McLean Hospital.
The world famous McLean.
Yes.
It is one of the best mental hospitals in the world.
Yeah, they're all the same, really.
Yeah.
Too bad James Taylor wasn't there when I was there.
Yeah, James Taylor went to McLean's.
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. Oh, anyway, things all fell into place. And my caseworker needed someone to sublet his apartment. So I did...
Wait. What are mental hospitals like?
When I was at McLean, I was literally thrown into a padded cell.
Nice.
Overnight. And I didn't remember what led up to it, but I do remember being thrown in there. And it's really padded. It's ceiling, walls, floor, everything's padded. So they let me out the next day, and I forget how long I was there. But
why did they throw you in the padded room?
See, I didn't remember that. And then another patient told me that I was really out of control. And I was kind of hallucinating there.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you know what you were seeing?
Well, I remember this woman in the bed next to me in a room. And I thought, oh no, her son died. And I better give her some privacy. And I said she was from Switzerland. And I went out in the hall and I was waiting, and then I realized none of that happened.
Wow. So, like, you saw a woman? Or you just.
There was a woman there, but okay. I decided her son had died and that she was from Switzerland. So.
Yeah.
Go figure.
And when you're in a mental hospital, is it like the movies? You're walking around, it's all white, and there's crazy people walking around?
Yeah, with your arms extended and. You just, you're all drugged up. No, it's, I didn't like it. The beds were uncomfortable. Every hospital I went to, they had uncomfortable beds. I had a very annoying roommate in the hospital where I was for 7 weeks. So, and it just like the last meeting of the night would be 9:30, and I would want to go to bed earlier than that, but you couldn't. And twice a day, you could get medication for anxiety. And a few times, I'd go, you know, could I have my medication? And this particular nurse would say, well, why do you need anti-anxiety medication? You know, why? I'm in a mental hospital. I have no place to go after here. Wouldn't you be anxious? You know, it just, to me, was a little absurd. But
I wonder if they, had to ask that.
No, they all didn't. Just this, well, whatever. So
crazy. And during this time, I knew you were in a mental hospital. I was in high school, and I was just told by my father that you were in a mental hospital. And I was like, oh, okay. And I was warned that you might not ever be the same. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to go to school.
Yeah, right.
I had no idea. I didn't know anything about mental health or mental disorders.
Right.
It was just like really scary to me. It was like, wait, so my mom's crazy?
That's right.
And she's in a mental hospital, rocking back and forth with crazy people walking around. And I might not ever see her again. And even if I do, she might be a complete lunatic. I know I'm using bad words, like crazy and lunatic, but that sums it up. I was like, okay, so my mom's dead.
So to speak.
But you did come back. We'll get to your recovery soon.
Alrighty.
So you're at McLean's. You stay there for 7 weeks?
No. That one of my first hospitals was 7 weeks.
Okay. So, all right, let's, you're at McLean's, you're having a good time, and then you get out of McLean's, and then you, what? You said things fell into place. You're...
Yes. My brother, oh, then I went, oh, wait a minute, McLean's. Anyway, I ended up in first the group therapy home in Brookline, and then an apartment in Brookline. Just my psychiatrist had said, I want you out of this Crazy Acres by February 1st. And things fell into place. And I moved into this great apartment in Coolidge Corner, Brookline, on February 1st. And you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, oh, I thought, well, it's time to buy a place. And I bought a place. I lived in Brookline for 5 years. Then I bought a place in Cambridge, and I lived there for 6 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And then your sisters were at me. You need to have a covered garage. You need to have an elevator. I mean, really, it just...
Well, that place in Cambridge was like falling apart.
No, it wasn't.
Literally... Falling apart at the foundation. You had a rat infestation.
A rat. Yeah, infestation. Many rats.
Yeah, and that was crazy.
Ugh, terrible.
I think you're better off here.
Yeah. So I went to Watertown, and I loved the place where I was, and you could walk everywhere like Coolidge Corner. And then, oh, I know, I broke my arm. And then 3 months later, I had a spiral sprain in the same arm, and apparently that's more painful than a break. And I was in the emergency room, and I was calling my children, and I was talking to Kate, and she said, you need to move up here, Mom. I can't. My job is here. My friends are here. And the words that really swayed me, she said, your family's up here. You belong with your family.
You're talking. She's referring to New Hampshire.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. So, I don't know. A few months later, I ended up here in this great complex in Exeter.
Yeah, this is way better here.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you're... I miss the tea. I miss
the train in Boston.
Yeah, I'm basically a city person.
Yeah.
So, I've been here a year, and I met a lot of friends, and it is a great area. But whenever I go back to the Boston area, I think I really am a city girl.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can go there for retirement.
Oh, God help us.
Move to New York.
To be... No, I'll move to L.A.
Oh, yeah.
And live with my son.
It's not much of a city. You wouldn't like L.A.
No, I know.
Yeah, so you must be way... I'm assuming you're way happier here, right? You're so much closer to family.
Than McLean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am close to my three daughters and my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
So it all worked out well.
Yeah.
It always does, I think, in my life anyway. I always end up exactly where I'm supposed to be. Did I say that already?
No, you said it before the podcast.
Oh, okay. So
that's what you think in life? You will end up where you're supposed to be?
Well, historically, I have.
You have?
Mm-hmm. Not necessarily everyone,
right?
But a lot of people,
mm-hmm,
agree with me.
And so you're a person whose life was pretty much almost completely fell apart, and then you built it back up, and now I think you're one of the more happy members of our family.
Well, that's kind of sad, but yeah, I'm happy. I'm on good medication.
That's the key, right? For
bipolar.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. If you don't have medication, then you might as well give it up. You'll become depressed, and then you'll be manic, and it would be a terrible way to live, because I did live that way for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So medicate yourselves, everyone in the audience.
Everyone.
Everyone.
You also quit drinking.
Yes, because of one of the drugs.
Yeah.
Come on.
had a drunk person in the audience last night.
Oh.
Just talking to herself.
Maybe she was crazy. Maybe she belonged in a hospital.
Maybe. She's definitely an alcoholic, or, I mean, she was last night, at least. I might play a clip from that at the beginning of this podcast.
Oh, you have it?
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be audible, but you can definitely hear me saying, I hate you, to the woman.
Very nice.
So, what's in your future?
Oh, God.
Jay Dune.
In my future. You said my initial. You said you'd never say my name.
Javier.
In my future? Probably old age, but that won't come for a while.
You're 32.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or some people say I'm 68, but...
Okay. Well, they're wrong.
Whatever. In my future, I'll have to check my horoscope. I don't know. I suppose I'll, as my brother David would say, one thing led to another, and before we knew it, we were dead. So,
I always liked your side of the family.
Did you?
I like both sides, but your side is definitely funnier.
Oh, God, yeah.
Way darker.
Mm-hmm.
I was never comfortable with how jolly the other side of the family was.
Oh, yeah, that goes, a little of that goes a long way.
Even though it is nice, but I got a kick out of your brothers and my cousins on that side because they were just way wittier, much darker.
Mm-hmm.
Probably not as happy.
No, they're very happy.
Are they?
Yeah, they're all grown up, married with kids. And
all extremely funny and witty.
Yes.
Because people from Boston are funny.
No, not, yeah, that you could say. But it's a gene. It's a funny gene.
Mm-hmm.
My mother passed it on to us. I passed it on to my children, especially you.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps you might have dull children. Who knows?
Yeah.
If you don't pass it on.
Well, my girlfriend Jenny is pretty flat, personality-wise, and chest.
Yeah, I met her that once. She was a little on the dull side.
Yeah,
and
she sucks.
Flat side, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I think that just about does it. I'm wondering if the audience is like, ask this.
Ask that.
Did I miss anything?
Whatever. See.
I guess the main theme is go to a doctor if you think you might be mentally ill and get on the right medication and don't take Adderall.
Don't take Adderall. And
I stopped taking Adderall because it was affecting my sleep.
Yes.
And I was like, uh-oh, here we go again.
Yeah. And always be nice to your mother.
That's right.
Like Rye is, even if she's crazy, like I am.
And you would say something, you would force me to say something every day before school as I left.
Do you remember?
Yeah, you would say, what are you going to do today, Rye?
No.
What?
What's the most important thing you'll do all day?
Be nice to everybody, even if I don't like them.
Mm-hmm. Kind, I believe the word was.
Be kind.
Be kind to everyone, even if I don't like them.
That's a good rule of life.
It is.
That even counts on the internet, all you haters listening. I know our audience is intelligent.
Okay, good.
So they're not going to leave. Like,
you know what song I think sums up life?
What?
The Itsy Bitsy Spider.
How does that go?
Oh, I'm not singing.
Maybe I'll play the Carly Simon version.
Yes, that's the best one.
I grew up on Carly Simon. That's why I'm so gay.
It's the story of life. You go up, then the rain comes, but you go up again. Does the sun come up? I don't know.
Yeah.
The Itsy Bitsy Spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain, and the Itsy Bitsy Spider. Why am I doing this?
You almost finished it.
The Itsy Bitsy Spider, I don't know.
Climbed up the spout again?
Yes, climbed up the water spout. In other words, that's life. You know, you try so hard, you climb high, and then, boom, the rain comes. But you get washed out.
The Itsy Bitsy Spider climbed up the water spout. Out came the rain and deleted.
Down came the rain.
Down came the rain and deleted Vine.
Oh, God, there's a good example. But now you're trying to climb yourself up out of the gutter.
Doing my best. Use our fucking promo code. Support our sponsors, listeners. I like to encourage my listeners to support us by yelling at them.
Why don't they give you money?
They do.
Oh, good.
We appreciate it. All right, that was a perfect ending. I might end it with just the... Yeah, I'm going to play the Carly Simon version.
Okay.
All right, thanks, thanks, Dune.
You're welcome, son. My favorite son.
Yeah, your only son. Mm-hmm. And if anyone tries to figure out who my mom is, it won't be possible because you don't even know my real name.
Uh-huh.
And privacy is the best.
And remember, you're my pride and joy, my favorite boy. No, other way around.
Perfect boy.
Perfect boy.
Yeah, my mom.
My pride and joy, my perfect boy.
Ugh, that's so cringy.
Isn't it?
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry, Dad.
Oh, say geez. It. I'm sorry, Dad.